But then one day I was walking around the house. I don't know why this sudden thought came to my mind and thinking about the future events. So, yeah, many weeks later, we started studying with our friends from the church, studying Last Day Events book and other end time prophecies from the Bible. So we then discovered this topic related to country living.
There seems to be a deficit of conversations around the whys of living away from the convenience of town, spending precious time on trying to grow your own food when you can just buy it in the shops, and if choosing this lifestyle really is making a difference on our characters and that of our families. Welcome to the Cultivate Podcast. We are passionate about and love having conversations on what impact truly experiencing country living, true education, and agriculture can have on our lives. We hope and pray that by us sharing these conversations with people from all different backgrounds and experiences, that you can feel equipped from the practical advice and inspired by the stories to continue or pick up where you left off.
We've got Shanna and Daryl, our guest, here with us today. Daryl is a IT support technician who's been working in health areas for medical portals and those sort of things. Quite some interesting IT and computer science stuff if you're into that and if you've got the mind for it. But today we're going to talk to Daryl about his family and their experience and journey as they transitioned and moved into country living. So we're going to have a chat with Daryl. Daryl, we met back in 2018 at Cultivate Conference. Yeah, it's been a while and I'm looking forward to catching up.
Yeah, that's right. So back then when we attended the Cultivate Agriculture Conference, so that's back in 2018. So we were on the process of sorting out our country house development approval with the council through our builder. In the conference, I was really interested with learning how to work with the soil in achieving the best results required by a healthy growing plant. And yeah, it's still a journey up to this time. So yeah, I think it was God's providence that you were one of those presenters for that topic. And here we are now. So yeah, I really wish we had all the time to go and attend all those beautiful presentations. They were all important, but yeah, so I really Thanks, look Steph. Forward for another Cultivate conference. Yeah, next time, hopefully.
yeah, we're definitely looking forward. And thanks, Daryl. And we do hope they were of help. And I remember even speaking with you at the end of that conference, you were quite, you know, inspired and you went from it quite energized. Yeah, I remember we was talking about that. But jumping into your background and where you are coming from, and where did you grow up and what was the family background, and when did you come into Australia?
Yeah, so I was born in, I'd grew up in a small rural town of Sibalom, as you say it. So it's located in the Panay Island of the central Philippines. So I was the eldest in the family and have two brothers. I grew up in a Seventh-day Adventist family, as both my mom and dad were active members of the church, and my dad was a church elder for many years. So same with my wife, Yelen. She was born in a rural town of Tupi from the southern Philippines to both SDA parents. She's also the eldest in the family and have two sisters. So we met each other by God's providence when she visited my place to work as a literature evangelist, so selling Adventist books. So that was after she graduated from a two-year diploma in agriculture from the Central Philippine Adventist College. So she later on worked as a Adventist missionary near my place, and then later on our relationship developed and we got married in the end. So we arrived in Australia as a family together with my wife, Helen, and my firstborn son, Justin, back on the 20th of November, 2009. So we were on a permanent Australian visa sponsored by the Australian Capital Territory. So yeah, life as an immigrant was a bit tough, having to start from scratch in a new and unfamiliar country, away from, you know, close relatives and loved ones. One thing that gives us hope and keeps us going is our faith in God. So that's like Abraham when he was sent by God to a faraway country. So God had directed him the way to go, and so we trusted him to lead the way for us. So fast forward, we settled successfully in the ACT for about 10 years, and I've been blessed by another two boys named Jediah and Joshua. So yeah.
So exciting. I especially like the part of how you met your wife while she was doing literature evangelism.
Yeah, actually it wasn't
very
planned
good thing
that,
to do.
Yeah. It wasn't planned that she would visit my place, because actually that was the last chance. She's about to head home directly, and then their leader in the literature evangelist told her, "Oh, you got to go for the last time."
Praise the Lord for divine appointments all the way.
I know, yeah.
Right, so you took the leap. You jumped across the little bit of ocean that we have between us. And when did the country living come in? Because you say you settled in Canberra in ACT. When did the country living start? What was the idea? What was the lifestyle? You know, there was a change in lifestyle there, moving from Philippines to here. And what was the goal?
Yeah, so, well, to start with, we did not even think about country living at all when we arrived in Australia. You know, that life in Philippines is a bit tough, you know. It's hard to find a job if you live in a rural place. So basically, most of the Filipinos and Philippines will move to the city when they finally graduate and then look for a job in the cities where, you know, lots of jobs are being offered. But yeah, same thinking. When we arrive in Australia, we think about, you know, like a greener pasture, because, you know, life is a bit harder in Philippines. So we didn't think about country living. And then although we're born Seventh-day Adventist from the Philippines, we don't hear preachers teaching about country living back then. Not until lately, because I know I've been following what's going on. And yeah. Recently, yeah. There's been a big interest with even the pastors now preaching about country living back in my place.
Yeah.
So back then, we never read any book or reference about country living. When we arrived in Australia, our thoughts were to get a good paying job, so save money, you know, get settled in ACT, because that's our place of sponsorship, buying our own house one day, and to have less maintenance home as much as possible. That is not having to work so hard with mowing the garden, for example, and close to the shops as much as possible and closer to the school. Yeah. However, eventually, because both me and my wife had grown up in a rural place in the Philippines, we both treasured those rural living experiences. So we missed them so much when we live in the suburbs of ACT. So I think we move about like 10 times around ACT, so we get a feel of, you know, each place. We know ACT has been like designed as a garden movement, so everywhere is gardens and bush, you know. It doesn't mean that we're bad tenants because we have keep moving, but yeah, it's just the different circumstances. For example, the owner wants to sell the house and they want somebody else to live in there. And yeah, we just have to keep moving, and we got a different taste of what it's like to live in different suburbs of the ACT. And yeah, we found it so interesting. Yeah.
Absolutely. You've done a lot of jumping around.
Yep.
That's interesting that you're saying, with like the culturally coming from Philippines, there's this idea and sort of move from the country, go to the city. You'll be better off there. Would you add a word to that? Like it's ingrained. It's like it's part of, and it's not, you know, the Philippines are not the only culture. Like as Romanians, I know that it was always looked down at. Why would you want to do peasant work? Why would you want to go to the country?
Yeah, it's just like, you know, looking for jobs is a bit challenging. I don't know, the mindset of the people. But then when I know one of my friends like settled in Manila, for example, and they always wish to come back to, you know, our country place in Philippines. It's like they're missing their towns because of, I think, because of fresh air, you know, wide open space, lots of rice fields. It's a like a iconic places where you can see, you know, lots of greeneries around the area. It's a big contrast. When you go to Manila, it's all like mostly buildings, you know, you smell the smoke from the jeepneys, for example, the cars. Yeah, it's just so stressful. It's like really challenging.
So in that regard, the suburbs are actually better than the city anyway. Like you've already gone the next step. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
So what sort of got you back in touch with wanting to be in the country and the gardening and those, what gave you the taste?
Yeah, so not until back in 2012, so that we rented a house in Fisher. So that's like the southern part of ACT, so mostly bigger backyards, you know. So we rented a house in Fisher that was owned by a former gardener at Floriade. We know that ACT has an iconic event every year, every September, which is Floriade. Unfortunately, because of pandemic, we didn't have the proper one this year. But yeah, we used to visit them a lot and we saw a lot of flowers and yeah, lots of exhibitions about different kinds of plants. So yeah, that we started getting some interest with gardening with that introduction of that person. His house had a nice rose garden at the front and back of the house. And also there was a small area that he offered to us to develop into a veggie garden. So that is like the first time we had to start a veggie garden in Australia officially. Yeah, so even taught me how to plant a cherry tomato. So yeah, and that became a success in the end. My wife Yelen at that time was not so interested with gardening, even though she had an agriculture background. Because she was complaining that she's often allergic to some sort of plant leaves or like grass leaves. They easily irritate her skin and lots of rashes. So she doesn't like that experience. She was never really interested with plants back then, not until she saw the good harvest of cherry tomatoes from the small garden that her interest has started with planting.
Yeah,
because now it's become a useful thing, right? Now we can actually have fruit to eat from it.
And interesting that it was like you got a patch of dirt that you could actually invest in, because with all this hopping around and you're saying moving 10 times, like the incentive to go and plant something would be kind of low. Might not be there long enough to harvest.
Yeah, we just love the, you know, just doing something, you know, spending time with basically I guess a bit of nature in a small backyard. Yeah, we don't mind to spend a bit more on the plants, even though we don't get to keep them for long. So
so when did you decide or can start considering that to get your own place? And what triggered that transition?
Yeah, so we purchased our very first house in the ACT, so and settled in the suburb of Casey near Gangalan area in the year 2014. So that is about like 2 years later since we first lived in Fisher. The idea was to have the house as our first and last purchase. So basically, yeah, we thought that was it. We finally moved to a low maintenance house and walking distance to the shop, basically probably about 20 meters away from the shop or maybe more, a bit more, but yeah. And walking distance to the school. So to us, like, it feels like, a dream come true, finally. So our focus was on work and saving money for our future and our kids. But then one day I was walking around the house. I don't know why this sudden thought came to my mind, and thinking about the future events, I felt really strange that day. So that was like, something struck me. And, you know, Sunday law came to my mind because my dad back in the Philippines used to preach about Sunday laws and, you know, the last day events, but never did he preach about country living. So it just came to my mind, it doesn't make sense. I thought to myself, a time where buying and selling are prohibited unless you receive the mark of the beast. So what will be the situation when we still live in the suburbs, for example? So I was talking to God in my mind, and I said, Lord, what would you like me to do to save me and my family during those times? I was thinking we can't just rely on the shops all the time, because you, in order to get food, you have to buy, isn't it? And yeah, there must be another way God has prepared for his people. So, yeah, many weeks later, we started studying with our friends from the church, studying Last Day Events book and other end time prophecies from the Bible and other writings of Ellen White. So we then discovered this topic related to country living from the Last Day Events in Adventist Home Book. I never knew that these topics were there, actually, but until we actually studied chapter by chapter, then we discovered, this is something new. I never knew this. And then, yeah, we later discovered this book called Country Living by Ellen White, which is a compilation of country living materials from different references. Yeah, okay. So what a great change in our thoughts when we learn about God's plan for his people to move into the country for many good reasons and in preparation for his soon return for the second time. So my wife and I prayed earnestly to God for his guidance to show us the way and his will to move to the country place for us.
Mm.
So, yeah.
What were the steps going forward from there? You prayed, and then what came next?
Yeah, so back then we really don't know how we're going to move to a country property. Since Australia is like still new to us, even though we live for a few years. We never had any experience living in a country before in Australia. But we trusted God that he will help us with his plan for us, whatever his will is. So we started checking out many country places just outside of ACT. So it's not that far from my current workplace. So with the thoughts that we can still continue working with our current jobs. Because back then, Yellen had Jediah, so she had to stop working, and she had to look after Jediah for many months. Until now, yeah, she's still looking after the two boys. But so back then we all also ready our home loan pre-approval with the bank with set limits as to what property we can afford only. We don't have enough cash, so we decided to sell our house in Casey. Yeah, it was a big decision to sell, like, you know, the first and hope we thought that was the last property that we will have. But yeah, we decided to sell it. And then only advertised for 1 month, it was sold. So yeah, it was like it was like a pancake. And before we realized, we were moving house again in December. It was like Christmas time, but we have to move in a rental property. And yeah, we didn't think that time that you know, finding another place to rent is, yeah, it's actually not easy to find back in 2016. So when we look for a house, for example, there were like probably 50 people trying to check the property at once.
Yeah.
So it's not that easy. So we thought, oh no, did we make a bad decision or something that we sold our house straight away? But then, by God's providence, we're able to find a rental property. And yeah, we stayed there for a few months. Then we started searching for country property while we're renting. Yeah, in that place that we moved to for temporary rent, we thought we're going to have to rent for 1 year, but then the owner started to, you know, decided to sell the house just before 1 year, so we had to move again. Yeah, that was quite a stressful one. And then, yeah, and Yellen got pregnant again for the third child. And then, yeah, we're still thinking, oh, can we actually make it to buy, you know, a country property? Because we already have three children. Yellen was not working, and then I'm the only one working. So it's quite challenging to, you know, get a home loan, for example.
Yeah.
Or approval from the bank. Yeah. But we still trusted God that, you know, he has a way. Yeah.
So how did he lead? How was the leading? What came next in that regard?
So at one time we listed possible country places that we can think of around the ACT area. So we kind of become more organized, become more strategic, I guess. Then we also considered places around Australia, if in case, you know, God wants us to send us to a further away places outside of ACT or further away, like, for example, Queensland or, you know, other places. So we have each place written on two separate cards. So during the draw, if the family gets two same places, then that's the place that God wants us to search, for example. Yeah, it's quite fun for the family. So all the places, we got the Queanbeyan region. So we kind of listed, you know, the prospect places that we kind of go. So this means that the place that God would want us to be will be like with the Queanbeyan region, but we have no idea where in that place, because Queanbeyan region is quite, you know, a massive area.
Yeah.
So yeah, then came the time when that we decided to sell. Well, we already sold that house in Gangalan, and so once God gives us that country property, we are ready to buy it. So we kind of, you know, we have the house sold in Gangalan, we're renting, we have the pre-approval ready, and then we just basically just waiting for God's chance, you know, to open up the opportunity. And yeah, we pray to God that if he does not want the country place, he will stop us from buying it. So that's one thing as well. There are many occasions where we offered for the property that we like. Some had advertised for quite some time, like for many months. And the moment we offer for the property, someone else offered already just like a day before that.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. And I remember we really like an acreage of 2 hectares vacant block of land in Bridgeville Village. That's not in Queanbeyan region, but where we put an offer for the very first time, like I think that was the very first property that we really took seriously to offer something. We prayed to God to offer a certain amount of, I can remember it's about 155,000 for the land, just a block of land. And if it is accepted, it is his will to get the land. So I also check its distance from a workplace, parking, and it's exactly 77 kilometers. So we thought our offer would be accepted, but the owner wants a bit more. So we're kind of a bit disappointed with that. But we never gave up. And we thought to ourselves, so God must have prepared something better for us. And then we kept looking for a few more months. There was this place in Chacola, New South Wales, that we nearly got the property. So it was like a heritage property.
Yeah.
So basically, if that's a heritage property, we couldn't just modify it or renovate it. We need approval from the council every time we do something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would have been so frustrating.
That's something you want to kind of avoid.
Yes. So yeah, we actually hired a building inspector just to check that, because it's like a more than 100-year-old building. So it has the block of land has 2 houses, but both of them are heritage houses. So yeah, so we prayed earnestly to God to give us wisdom to choose wisely, and you know, we thank God that for his guidance. We abandoned the plan to purchase the property because there was a bit of damage on the floor. And
yeah.
The builder said, you know, if you modify that house, it's going to cost you like 70,000 or more. So I said, oh, okay.
And you still end up with an old piece of 100 and something year old thing.
Yes.
Anyway. But it's crazy, hey, because like we always want the easy option. Like we want to just get the first option that comes up. But like we're seen here already like two times. Nope, it's not the right place. And it's like, but why? I just wanted to be the easy option.
Yeah. Yeah. And finally, one day, you know, this is it. Whilst reading the Bible and praying to God for a verse that would inspire us on our search for a country property. I know we've been looking for months, so it's kind of like, you know, feeling a bit sad and, you know, you're really longing for the presence of God to really speak to you. This is like the moment that I'm really down and I said, okay, Lord, you already sold our house. We're still renting and we're about to be, you know, move again, you know. And this was the verse that God had led me to read. It's found in Isaiah 32, verse 18. It's interesting because that chapter, you know, the numbers really speaks to us. I didn't tell that initially to everyone, but yeah, these numbers are really special to us.
Mm.
So 18 is the birthday of Yellen. And 32, if you reverse that, it's 23. That's my birthday, actually. It's like, oh, okay. We only realized it later on. But
I love how God does those things, those small things, just to like bring joy to our lives.
Yes. And what really struck us is because what the verse is saying is like it gives us really a good hope for looking for a property. It says there, and my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Now that word sure dwellings really inspired us because, you know, we've been looking for a country property for quite some time. And when God reveals you that verse, sure dwellings, quiet place, that sounds like a country property. So really get inspired.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. And whenever, you know, on that week, we offered for a country property in a place called Anembo. So Anembo is just about 45 minutes drive from Queanbeyan, so further south of Queanbeyan, and after the Captain's Flat. Captain's Flat used to be a gold mine, and they later on closed that place because of the... some incidents that happened, but yeah, Anembo is further up there, so it's away from contamination, I guess. But we never knew this place before, but somehow an ad came through in my email and advertised for a country place in that town. Now if I ask one of my colleagues at work and ask them, do you know that place called Anembo, they would have no clue, because even though they live in Canberra, they haven't heard of that place. And if you check in Wikipedia, there's only about probably 70 or, you know, 80 people living in that place. So it's very, less populated area.
Yeah.
Out in the sticks, eh?
Yeah. Yeah. But we checked the place, you know, because of God's inspiration. And we love it for its potential, despite it was a rubbish land of rotting pine stumps. I mean, back in 2017, so there's not much. I guess the rainfall is starting to become less and less every year. So starting 2017, then 2018, 2019. I think 2019 was the worst in history where the rainfall was really less in New South Wales since the 1900s.
Yeah.
So the place is really looks so bad.
At its worst.
Very brown. Yes, at its worst. And I even showed the place to my friends from the church, and they were not really interested with the place. Even Yellen said, oh, are you sure God is leading us here? It's really like, oh, okay. Yeah. One of the worst places you can be, I guess. But But the thing is, I don't know, for some reason, because Yellen prayed to God saying, Lord, if you really want us to move to the country, please inspire my husband, or like, please inspire me, for example. Because she keeps pushing for some places that she liked, but then every time we try to offer, it's like, we didn't get it. So this time she's really, leave everything to God, and then he said, just inspire my husband, you know, whatever is the decision, that will be the place.
Sure, at that point she was maybe slightly regretting that prayer, right?
I think so.
Anywhere but here.
Yeah, we kind of avoid a place where there's too much bush because of the bushfire, you know, and that place, Anembo, is where it's a water catchment, so there's a lot of springs, or so it's not that easy to build a house, for example, because of too many restrictions from the council. So in other words, we kind of settled in a more challenging place, but we'll see in the long run. So for some reason we kind of like the place. Well, it's at least it's me for now, because Yellen wasn't so fully convinced, but she trusted me. We offered a price, and the price was 155,000, the same amount as what we offered with the place in Breadbow last time that was rejected. So the price that we offered for the property, 155,000, but the land size is 40 hectares or 100 acres. So that's quite massive. We didn't expect to buy that big.
Yeah.
We only wished for 2 hectares, for example. But with a bonus, it has a creek running through the property. And funnily enough, the name of the creek reminds me of God's prophet Ellen White, because the name is White's Creek. Funny, isn't it? And another thing is the distance of the property to my workplace parking. Remember, I took a measurement in Google Maps for the Breadbow property, and then to the parking in my place, it was 77 kilometers.
Yeah,
the same distance, 77 kilometers, based on Google Maps. And the price and distance plus added creek and property size way bigger than, the very first one that we offered in Breadbow. So what a blessing. And for the same price. So our offer got accepted. Now we just have to, work our paperwork, I guess. And on the Sabbath of that week, one of our friends visited Queanbeyan SDA Church, and for some reason managed to ask us about our search for a country property. And I don't know why she asked about it. She must have known somewhere, but I didn't even open up, guess what, we are searching for a country property. Never. She just opened up, how's your search for a country property? How did she know? I don't know.
And you're like, why do you know that?
So I told her that we got the place somewhere in Anembo. And she was so happy and surprised at the same time, because she also owns a property in that very same area, just on another mountainside. But to me, it seems like God's providence to confirm his plan. So we got the verse, or we got a friend that, visited us that Sabbath, and he's like a neighbor's welcome,
And what's the chances, though, hey? Because I guess so many people say you need to follow providence, follow where God's leading, follow, the evidence that come up. Man, I got a lot of background noise here. Let's just let them go past. Providence can be seen when we're looking for it. And I love how that's, in your story, very clearly.
And that's not all, So after the church service, I was heading towards the car to get something. And this is very strange that happened. So there's a still small voice directly talking to my brain. I don't know if that ever happened to you. It's not an audible voice, but it's like directly affecting your brain to instructing you with a definite command. And it says there, Google the meaning of a nembo. It's very definitive command that you can tell that it was God talking directly to you, because nobody will ever do that, directly talking to your brain, not even an audible voice. So I did that because I thought, oh, okay, that was strange. So I did that and had goosebumps when I found out its meaning. So directly relates to the verse that God has revealed to us. So basically, a nembo is an Aboriginal word meaning quiet place. So remember that verse in Isaiah 32:18, talking about the quiet place.
Yeah.
And peace and tranquility is what this place provides. So this is a definite confirmation that God wants us to move to that place for a very special purpose. And may his name be glorified forever. You know, it was 2 years in the making to complete the process of building the house on that land. So, but God has been faithful to his promise of a sure dwelling place. Despite, you know, I'm the only one working in the family, we're able to secure a home loan and, you know, get the right people to, you know, build the house and everything. So, yeah.
After God's leading comes a challenge.
Yes.
but before we get to the challenge, what was the building? So you started to build on the place, you said, getting a house on. So it was really a raw piece of land.
Yes.
How long did it take and those sort of things? But what was the process?
So once we get the land, so we needed another home loan pre-approval. So basically, that first home loan was for the land, and then we're just paying off the interest while waiting for the house to be constructed. And then so we went to the same broker. So, and he mentioned that, you know, after you get the land, you need another home loan to build the house, the shed, the septic system, and the big water tank, and, you know, so
yeah,
that broker is the same person who helped us get the pre-approval for the house construction. And to get the house construction pre-approved from the bank, we need to submit all the building costs involved. And that means we need to get a quote from the chosen builder. And yeah, the really time-consuming part of the building process is to look for the right builder. Since our place is a bit remote from the big places like Queanbeyan and Canberra and also Cooma, so most builders charge more than what you need. So for example, instead of the 3-bedroom house that we wish to build, they will only accept contracts for houses from 4 bedrooms and above. And that means we cannot afford the cost because, yeah, obviously it will require more for us. And we look at other options like portable homes, but it can be tricky with getting home loan approval, plus getting your own tradies for plumbing, you know, off-grid solar power setup, land clearing. You have to organize those because the provider of the portable home won't provide those people for you. So it can be quite challenging for us. And then it requires upfront financial cost because the bank won't finance those extra bits. And after much prayer and ringing around, we finally found a builder who is happy to do everything for us, from the land clearing, house and shed construction, setting up the water tank, septic tank, and all the plumbing connections. And he's happy to build the 3-bedroom house design that we chose from the website. So we just now need to find our own solar power installer to install our solar panels, our solar batteries, you know, the backup generator, etc.
And we finally found
the electrician who helped us. And once we get all the quotes done, and then we have submitted them to the broker, and he sorted out our loan for the house construction. So that's in early 2018, we got the quotes. Then we signed the contract with the builder in the middle of that year. And we got the development approval at the end of the year. So yeah, it's been like a year of paperwork. That was so stressful. And then the land clearing actually started in March 2019. So as you can see, that was just the, you know, the beginning of challenges.
The process takes forever.
Yeah.
Well, I thought though, like when you were talking about the different houses and stuff, you know, the options that seemed to fall through and not work out, and then you had to pursue another option and see what happens. It's like when something seems like it's impossible, like there is always still a way. And so, yeah, keeping knocking on those doors, keeping searching, keeping looking, because yeah, there will be a way if God's led you there clearly already to that step.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, even Yelen was thinking, are you sure you've chosen the right builder? Because, you know, it was delaying. She thought that whilst we're renting, we'll be able to settle like in a few months. But yeah, it took more than a year just for the planning and sorting out the paperwork. Now the clearing has finally began. There's another hindrance that followed, and so that was to sort out our loan pre-approval because it got expired because of waiting, too much waiting, longer. And to get that sorted, so we have to wait another few more weeks or another month or so for its approval. So we had risk cash savings with the builder as we are only getting the shed if our home loan was not approved. And that would have been very expensive shed project as the builder requires a bit more cash deposit on initial start of the project. But the cash deposit will be considered by the bank as part of our contribution to the building costs. So because on our part, we need to contribute like 30% cash or deposit, including for the land and building construction and the rest to be loaned from the bank. So it's quite a big deposit. But it took 7 months for the project to get completed. So a lot of sevens there, isn't it? So lots of back and forths with the builder, lots of visits. You know, if you're excited with the building progress, yeah, even though it's a bit far, you get to see it every weekend.
Yeah.
Lots of excitement along the way. So, yeah, and finally in September 2019, so that was done, and yeah, we moved to the new place finally.
Yes. Made it.
Yay.
And like this is you've told us in like what amount of time, like 20 minutes, or I don't know how long we've been going for now, but like this is like years worth of experience right here.
Yeah.
You can just imagine the excitement of yes, finally we've made it.
Yeah, exactly. And then coming back to the Lord showing his providence and opening the doors, and then to the challenges, what were some of those challenges when in the initial move, and what happened?
Yeah, that's right. So once we moved to that place, in this place in spring of 2019, and you know, little did we know that our faith was about to be tested. Yeah, even though our faith was already tested during the building process, there's more to come. So yeah, then as we know that 2019 was the worst rainfall since the 1900. If you see the chart of the Bureau of Meteorology, you can see 2019 is the worst. Very dry. Even the creek went dry that time. So we kind of know that, oh, this is not good. Yeah, and so bushfire suddenly became a trend surrounding our place, coming from all directions. So it actually started from the north, and then there's another fire from the south, and then in the east. And then, yeah, the west is the Canberra area, so Canberra part got burned as well. So really, we're kind of surrounded. And
were you at your house while those fires were happening?
Yes, but eventually we got evacuated because of the smoke. We just can't stand the smoke. And for the safety of the family, yeah, we temporarily stayed at our friend's house in ACT. But then, yeah, you know, fire followed us.
That would have been so scary.
Yeah, it was, yeah. And yeah, considering that we only lived for like a few months in our place, and we thought, oh, will this place be burned after all those hard work, you know? Will God let it burn? We just asked ourselves, like, oh. And, you know, we kind of accepted the reality that the house might be gone and we have nothing to return to. But, yeah, we just trusted God, you know. If it's God's will to save it, then he will. And, yes, he did, obviously, because we're still here.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was.
That would have been such a relief to find out.
Yeah.
I just remember the fires happening up, yeah, in the area where I was living at that time. And yeah, it was crazy. It's like, well, we don't know if tomorrow your house is going to be burnt or, yeah, it just gets a little bit close for comfort, right?
Yep. Yeah, that's true. It really tests your faith as well. So, yeah. So and, it was.
Yeah, did God really lead me here? But looking back on your story, there's so many evidence already that, yes, God did lead you there. But yeah, in those times, it's so easy to forget those things, hey?
Yep. Yeah, I think looking back, you know, I think God really provided those, you know, those experiences to strengthen our faith because, you know, at the later times, we'll be even more challenged with the, more challenging test in our faith. And, you know, I didn't share this before, but back during the construction phase, I remember we were visiting almost every weekend just to check the progress of the house. And at one time, because the shed was finished ahead of the house, we're kind of excited. And then we started moving our stuff in the shed, like, you know, some of the, I think that was the generator for the solar panels, the backup generator. And yeah, we invited some friends to stay with us for like a day of picnic at the shed and just enjoying the nice view out there. And yeah, for some reason, I put my car keys in my jacket, but it's a bit, you know, it's not placed properly. So we kind of wandered around the property. So I showed them the creek. We walked around the property and there were tall grasses around the area. Yeah, so, and then almost sunset, I think it was like half an hour before the sunset. And then Yellen talked to me, said, oh, I think we need to go home. The sun is starting to set and it's starting to become dark, so yeah, let's go home. And I started to find my key in my pocket and I couldn't find it. And back then, yeah, back then it was winter. So I think that was the month of May, 2019. So it was really cold and we're kind of, oh, okay, what shall we do? We don't have the key of the car. We don't have the key of our house because all the keys inside my pocket, I actually accidentally dropped it somewhere in the middle of the grass while we were wandering around.
A fairly big space of property to be searching, yes, over now, right?
I think it was about 2 hectares worth of wandering around. So, yeah, so what we did was we actually, you know, panicked at first, but we said, oh, let's pray to God. I'm sure he knows where I dropped it, for sure.
Mm.
Yeah, that was like, you know, 15 minutes before sunset. So it's really starting to get dark. I don't have a flashlight to check the, you know, the path where I've been. So it's really hard. And Yellen was kind of crying because she's worried with the kids. You know, it's getting really cold. We don't have the, you know, the proper things. If we really want to sleep in a shed that night, we're not ready. It's really cold, so we can't do it.
Yeah.
And my mobile phone was dying, so the battery was really low. yeah, it was quite challenging. So I said to God, oh, Lord, please lead me to the place where I dropped the key. I was kind of, you know, don't know what to do because I searched everywhere. I couldn't find the key at all. I was wandering around for maybe 20 minutes. And at the last minute, when I said, Lord, it's really up to you if you want us to go home tonight. And then when I said that in my mind, the moment I looked down, the key was there.
Wow, praise the Lord.
Yeah, I'll just keep walking and walking, and you know, God led me to the place where I dropped it. Exactly. The moment I looked down, it's there. So yeah.
That's so encouraging.
Mm.
He answers the prayer before we even ask it.
Yeah, that's right. And so we made it home that night. So yeah, really thankful for God. What other challenges? Yeah, so talking about the daily commute to work, you know, it's not easy to drive every day, having to drive like 77 kilometers one way. Going to work is about an hour and 15 minutes and 5 days a week because, you know, I work in Canberra and I have to go home every day.
Yeah.
And what would I do is I just listen to audio Bible, listen to sermons or Christian songs, was in the car. And it was quite an adjustment for more than 3 months. And Yelena actually noticed I'm getting slimmer because of that adjustment. But then, you know, just after the bushfire, the world changed with COVID-19 pandemic and how the government responded. And yeah, never did I came to my mind that one day I'll be working from home. Because initially I actually told my boss before the pandemic, said, even just one day a week, can I work from home? And she said, the management wouldn't approve that. And now everyone works from home, including all of my colleagues. They really love it. Yeah.
Wow. And you couldn't have planned that, hey? You couldn't have planned that.
Yeah. Never came to my mind this would happen. I always think, oh, okay, what would be the solution for the long distance every day?
You didn't even have to make it up. They probably told you to work at home, right?
Yeah. So basically, this opportunity allowed me to spend more time with family and doing, you know, some farm work on my free hours, not having to arrive late at night. And yeah, and after my regular work from home job, so yeah, more projects in the farm, I guess.
Yes, because you've just got another 2.5 hours, right, of driving that you have cut out. So yeah.
Exactly.
You can invest that in other things you want to do.
Yeah. And big blessings.
And working on the land, so you got some more challenges.
Yeah.
Inherited some more.
Yeah, didn't I show you last time that it was like, you know, sand in the beach?
Yeah, we were looking at some beach sand. Spiders and beach sand.
So it's still a work in progress, really. So it turns out the land is, you know, as I told you, like a post-pine plantation. So it would be very acidic. We have to clear a lot of areas for planting. The land has a very sandy, poor quality soil with a pH range of 4.5 to 5.2, very acidic soil.
Yeah.
But despite the fact that the soil is very challenging, the land looks like a sand in the beach, yeah? We're still able to harvest some veggies. Yeah.
I saw some pictures and I think you've done very well considering... considering the beach.
Yeah, so yeah, we're still learning along the way, and you know, one day we'll have more testimonies in the future. I will need to get my soil test done with you, Ian, as I mentioned earlier.
We'll help.
I think it will help a lot with what is needed to be done with our soil, and so looking forward to that when I finally organize my soil test with you.
So give us a key lesson that you reckon that out of this journey that you've learned.
Yeah, so just one statement that I would say is to trust and obey God. I know that's a big word, isn't it? You really cannot do that unless you spend more time in prayer with God alone and, you know, study His word early in the morning and before we go to bed at night. I mean, that's like developing a relationship with God really close. And family worship is also vital, as you know, because making a decision to move in a country is not just individual, but it is a family decision. Everyone is involved. So it's vital that everyone will, you know, agree to the decision of the family. Otherwise, if one will not agree, it will be a big problem. It will be very challenging. And this is how strong relationship is developed with God and, you know, practical applications of His word to our family circle, our friends and people that we meet every day. You know, living in the country helps a lot with our character development. As you can see, the experience of Israelites when they move out of Egypt, going through the wilderness, and before they get to the Canaan, the land of Canaan, they have that character development that they need to experience in the wilderness. Yeah. I think the same in our experience right now. So country living is like our wilderness experience before we move to the heavenly Canaan, which is heaven. Yeah, I know there will be few distractions, but unlike in the city, and we get to study in practical God's second book, which is nature. Yeah, so we got that experience here.
I think by saying you like soil at the beach is not the right word. We should say like not sand at the beach. We should say sand in the desert.
Yeah, still a challenge though.
what would be a final encouragement or challenge you would leave with our listeners?
So I'd just like to share this quote from Ellen White, which really inspired me. It was taken from the first Bible commentary, page 1112, paragraph 6. It says, men were to cooperate with God in restoring the diseased land to health, that it might be a praise and a glory to His name. And as the land they possessed would, if managed with skill and earnestness, produce its treasures, so their hearts, if controlled by God, would reflect His character. Yeah, hope that reminds you of the verse in Revelation 14:7, which says, fear God and give glory to Him. So giving God glory is reflecting His character in a life continually. So just like breathing, it does not stop until your very last breath. So yeah, so may God's name be glorified forever. Amen.
Thank you, Daryl, and thank you for sharing your experience and each of the steps in that process. And I hope that in the process of considering and reflecting on this journey, that's been a blessing to you to keep in mind and keep fresh all of these hallmark moments and God's leading as He has led you here up to this point. So thank you, Daryl.
Yes, thanks so much for sharing. That's very inspiring.
Thank you for joining us on our first 7 episodes. This was the last episode for the year. We'll be taking a break for the holidays and coming back in January. We are currently doing our 2020 content planning, so if you are in any stage in the country living process and have a question about the whys and hows, let us know, and we might be able to address it in some of the upcoming episodes. Also, continue watching our social media as we'll have a few stories and practical articles coming out over the break. But for now, all the best.